Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
Okay, Jared and Shane here again.
Oh, it never gets old, does it?
It does not get old. We are here with another edition of our Scope Summer Movie Slam. I think this is movie 26, or it feels like it.
It may be by the time this review is released. Yeah. We may have seen 26 different movies.
Yeah, we have been very fortunate to see a lot of movies way ahead of time. So as we've said in previous editions of The Slam, that's what I'm calling it, The Slam.
Yeah, I got it.
We don't know when our reviews are going to pop, so we apologize for the continuity errors, but... It's the scope you'd expect.
It's like watching the new season of Arrested Development. There's little nuggets all over, and if you can get all of the SummerSlam reviews, download them, and then re-edit them together in the correct chronological sequence, maybe you'll win a prize.
Stitch them together.
Yeah.
Well, this time around, we are reviewing a movie that comes out...
June 28th.
June 28th. Of course, we are talking about the sci-fi thriller...
Yes.
The Heat, starring Melissa McCarthy. And...
Sandra Bullock.
One Sandy Bullock, as her friends call her. The movie is a... it's a funny movie, Jared.
It's
billed as a comedy. A cop buddy comedy with two female leads. You don't see that very often.
It's the new era we live in, though.
It is. Movie directed by Mr. Paul Feig, who is known for his directing role, I think, of Bridesmaids. And yes. He was also the creator of one of the best shows of all time, Freaks and Geeks. Huh? The movie stars a bunch of people. Michael Rapaport is in it.
He is.
One of the Wayans is in it.
Marlon. You may know him as Ripcord from the first G.I. Joe movie.
This is probably the only movie he's done since then. Yep. Much better than Ripcord. Who else? We've got Jane Curtin in it. We've got one of the new kids on the block in it. I think Joey McIntyre is in it. And a few other people that we probably wouldn't know.
Taron Killam from SNL is in there.
Yes. And then a guy who was in Mad TV who said absolutely nothing funny at all, but he was one of the main characters in here.
Yeah,
as well.
There's Melissa McCarthy's character's family has. Yeah. There's a bunch of comedy actors in there. There's Nate Cordry, redheaded comedian. I'm forgetting his name right now, but he's been making guest spots in a lot of comedy films lately. I just can't think of it right now.
And her
Bill Burr. That's his name.
Bill Burr's in it. And also. We've got Melissa McCarthy's husband, who played the Air Ranger from Bridesmaids, is also one of her squeezes in this film.
Okay.
So, Jared, why don't you, without giving too much away, because it's a very heavy, plot-heavy film, why don't you explain to our listeners what the Heat is about?
Okay, so Sandra Bullock is a kind of an uptight, by-the-book... sort of really proud of her technical skill FBI agent.
Story that's never been told. Character that's never...
She's not well-liked. She's in the New York field office. Not well-liked. But there's apparently her boss is moving on and there's going to be an opening and she's hoping to get a promotion. But she's told as much that she's not well-liked she is sent to Boston to deal with a case and maybe this will be an opportunity for her to sort of figure out that extra piece that'll get her into the leadership role that she wants to be in.
Yes.
Meanwhile, in Boston, you've got scrappy beat detective, salt of the earth, lives in the neighborhood she polices.
Filthy mouth.
Melissa McCarthy couldn't be more different than Sandra Bullock. She wears street clothes and driving gloves and drives a crappy car and apparently likes firearms. She's foul-mouthed. She takes no shit from anyone. And basically, these two are in the same city, and Melissa McCarthy's character, Mullins, arrests a street drug dealer and brings him into the precinct and then, for some reason, disappears. And at the same time, Sandra Bullock's character, what's her name?
Ashburn.
Ashburn has been reviewing case folders from all the arrested drug dealers. And so she goes to the precinct and decides to interrogate this newly... corralled street person, perp, this caller, and of course this is the moment then that our two leads meet and fireworks erupt. Their styles instantly clash, but of course they're going to have to work together to solve the big case.
A strange twist of fate brings them together.
Yes.
And the rest of the movie is essentially them trying to solve the case with a little twist. Melissa McCarthy's brother is a former perp who could be involved in it, so at some point, guess what? Melissa's family could be in danger as well.
Never saw that coming.
Never saw it coming. So, and that's the movie.
You know? That is the movie.
That really is the movie. You know, there's a lot of...
Sorry if you were expecting something crazy.
There's a lot of interaction between Sandy and Melissa.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, like some of the carefree, easygoing, salt of the earth. I've said it twice now, but, you know, hang out at the dive bar. Yeah. Sensibilities of Mullins sort of start to wear off on Sandy Bullock's character, yeah. And vice versa.
Yeah.
Some of Sandy Bullock's... can't remember her stick a character's name for the life
Ashburn.
Of me. Ashburn. Ashburn's, you know, by the book, get it done, follow the rules. Starts not as much.
Yeah, I don't see that, but...
Yeah.
I know what you're getting at. You'd think that that's what they would do.
Maybe they could have maybe gone in that direction. But basically, they're sort of, you know, they spend more time together, and of course, you know, they go through... kind of character changes you would expect them to go through in this type of film.
You get the typical character arc that we've already seen in the internship, which is losers get together, they make progress, but they have a huge bump in the road,
and
they fall to their lowest point, but yet
they're scrappy, and they figure it out on their own.
They buck the rules. You want to take this one, or you want to go?
Oh, yeah, I should probably do that. Thinking about this movie, so driving on the road.
So, I mean, really, you're in this movie because Melissa McCarthy is essentially the flavor of the month. And I don't want to degrade what she does, but she's the hot comedian now.
She has a style of comedy that is very fun and interesting, but it's definitely hers, and who knows how long it'll last. So, strike while the iron's hot.
Exactly. And her technique is just sort of that stream of consciousness, saying sort of clever things in a rapid... pace, oftentimes punctuated with some physical comedy, maybe in this movie, a lot of profanity.
Indeed.
I mean, that's the movie right there. I mean, you've got Sandra Bullock, who is playing the ultimate straight person, straight woman to to the comedic hijinks of Melissa. And I gotta be honest with you, Sandra didn't bring anything to the table for me.
I agree.
I mean, she sort of has that... she gets in these comedies, and I've never really found her that funny. I don't really get her appeal. And I'm going to be honest with you, this may come across as sexist, but she looks weird. Like, her face looks weird.
No, that's all she's always looked
at. I don't know what the deal was.
But I just don't think comedy is her thing. I mean, it's, you know...
She tries hard.
Maybe she's fine in the more standard, you know, scripted rom-coms type thing, but... When you get into more of a madcap, probably some improvisational things going on here type of comedy where, you know, you need to bring it to a scene, she's not pulling her weight.
She doesn't have the chops to keep up with Melissa McCarthy.
No.
You compare her to a Kristen Wiig, for instance, who was her... Well, I mean, there's a number of differences between this movie and Bridesmaids. Number one, Melissa was a small dosage... comedian in that one. She had a small role and she made the most of it.
Yep.
And it worked because it was
merged right into me, no matter what.
It was small doses.
Yields be damned.
No yield for us. In this one, she is essentially forced to carry the movie.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know what? She does all right. There were moments that we laughed. The only time we ever laughed during the movie was at something that she said.
Yeah.
But we didn't laugh all the time.
Part of the problem is that it's a lot of her type of comedy or shtick. And sometimes it's too much, and it's, you know, I don't know. You needed a break from it. You got it on occasion, but it just felt like it's like she's like Hulk in the Avengers.
Yep.
You know, that's the right place for the Hulk. You know, he's a supporting character. Yep. He gets a lot of great moments, but he doesn't. Yep. He's not really good at carrying an entire film.
He smashes shit up and he gets off the screen, which is exactly what her comedy style is.
Right.
You know, the other problem in this movie, Jared, is as threadbare as the plot is, you know, you have this supposedly good agent, bad cop, and, you know, they play Ashburn's character, you know, she's supposed to be so great, but she never does anything great, except for two scenes where they show her, you know, find hidden drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like she doesn't do anything good. They get into all sorts of mischief, and...
This is a problem of tone that I had with the film. It can't figure out if it's a madcap, absurd comedy, or if it's more of a straight style of comedy. Yeah.
grounded in reality.
And sometimes it vacillates within a scene.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't know whether or not these characters are just really goofball, not very good at their job type cops, or if they actually are good at their jobs. Because occasionally they are good at their jobs, and other times they're terrible at their jobs.
Yes.
So it's like, pick a tone and run with it, but pick a tone. I was very, very confused. There's a lot of casual murder.
Yeah, like, surprisingly.
Played for laughs. Which it's like, whoa.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good about it.
And, the main characters sort of don't even react to it. It's just like, oh, somebody died, or, oh, I killed someone. It's like, okay, is that the world we're going to live in? And then the next moment, they're playing it really, really serious.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was all over the map, tone-wise. I couldn't lock it down, and I was very confused.
I agree with you. I think that's a perfect way of looking at it. As I said, walking out of the theater, to me, the movie was about what I expected to be from a comedic standpoint.
Yeah.
I actually thought that from what I had seen in the trailers, that the tone of the movie would be a bit more solidified. I mean, like, I kind of felt like they would know what the movie was going to be.
Yeah.
But not knowing, I think, made it even tougher to watch, if you want to know the truth.
Sad to say, some of the best jokes are in the trailers, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that there isn't funny stuff in the movie. There's definitely some moments that are really, really funny, and you will laugh.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, it's like seeing the one or two good sketches on SNL, and the rest of it's not very good.
Yeah. It's like a small comedic oasis in a ocean of non-laughter.
Yeah.
That's how it felt. And, you know, with a movie like this, if you're going to do crazy things, if you're going to have plots where the main character, who is seems to be on the edge, sort of a cop, can berate the commanding officer and do anything she wants.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have people pulled off the case, but yet they're going to go commando, Rambo,
rogue,
and still pull things off, you've got to know what you are as a film. And we didn't get it. We didn't get it this movie.
We got whatever the writer felt like they needed for that particular scene. And we also didn't get to see the RPG launched. I was disappointed.
Yeah. I think that we are living in a world, at least you and I, we've seen enough comedies where we are looking for a bit of sophistication.
Yeah. And we've seen sophisticated comedies.
And you think about things like There's Something About Mary or something like that. You know, that's a pretty crude movie.
Yeah.
If you want to go back.
But it
knew what it was, and it did have a bit of sophistication and understanding of the characters and the world that they live in. This movie didn't have it.
No.
So, let's give it a score, shall we? Let's give it a scope score.
The scope score is 1.5 star.
So 1.5 scope stars, Jared.
Yeah.
I don't know what that equals to in grade point average, but doesn't seem like it's a passing grade.
No, that's a disappointment.
Disappointment.
I think there's comedy rubes out there who will probably really, really like this movie.
Somebody sitting right next to you said, God, I love that. What a great movie.
Yeah, but I think when you get beyond some of the surface laughs and you kind of dig in, and it's just there's nothing there holding this film together.
No. I like The Internship better.
I would agree.
And that, I didn't love it, so.
How did we score that one? I forget.
I don't know.
I think we scored it better.
I hope we scored it better. Well, we're all over the place. So, yeah, another movie under our belt, Jared.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It is amazing. We are barely into June, and I think we've reviewed 42 movies. There's not been a release that we have not seen.
Seen them all.
Or it certainly feels that way.
Even ones that are not even released yet. They're not even done shooting, and we've seen the raw, we've seen the dailies.
They want us in it.
We're good.
They appreciate our reviews, they appreciate our insight. And they appreciate that you remember most of the characters' names and
Sandra Bullock
character. And a shit ton of character.
Ashburn?
Character actors.
Ashburn, was that it?
It was Ashburn and Gromit. What was her
name? Right. Mullins.
Not there we
Gromit.
Go. I think that pretty much says it all. So, Scope listeners, we're signing off. For Jared, this is Shane saying, arrivederci.
Take that, Adam.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21 Scope. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.